Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Just going to mend it. Get on. Welcome to the best 15 minutes or so in the universe. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Mark Hardout Garagus in studio.
Not only in studio, but I'll have you know that I fooled the boys. They didn't even have the microphone out. You were going to go solo.
I felt
like I was a bad wingman.
Zooming in, but here you did, and you're here.
I had the opportunity to come. I could sit at my desk and be aggravated, or I could come see you and be liberated.
Oh, I like that.
Right?
From aggravation to liberation.
Yeah. I feel like Paul Pelosi after the FBI affidavit was released. Like, I'm no longer a gay sexual predator and a meth head, but I've become a victim again. And I know I'm not supposed to be joking and it's too early, but, you know, Gary and I did the Sunday Bard, and the whole incident is kind of a Rorschach test to me.
Mm-hmm.
How you view it really says more about you than it does about the incident, I think. Don't you think? Or what's your reaction?
Yeah. Well, so what happens is the left goes quick to tie it to January 6th and the temperature and the rhetoric that they somehow never participate in. They just sit back and witness the rhetoric. And then they tie it to that and they do it. Then the right goes the other direction and they go, this is a gay tryst and he was in his underpants and he was good friends with the man. And so now then the...
And then the Twitter detectives come out. The Twitter detectives are the best. I mean, I was saying, you know, because you probably have experienced this, but... We at the office get incredible incoming emails. I mean, if you were to watch the emails that come in on a daily basis and the kind of the connections that people make over various from various data.
Yeah, it was funny because I was watching Claire McCaskill on MSNBC last night.
Former
I don't know if Chris
Senator.
Ever found the clip. I told him to look for it. But anyway, he was having trouble finding it online. He may. You can ask him if he's got it or
someone
not.
Someone shouted at me from behind me that they didn't.
So I was laughing because she was getting sanctimonious about it, as everyone does. And then she goes, and to implicate him into some sort of gross relationship. And I was like, you're not allowed to call gay sex gross. You can call it something else, but she was like, it was gross. And questioning him as a man, it's like, you're allowed to be gay and a man and have sex. Now, then I did a little thought experiment. What if he was accused of banging his 23-year-old secretary? She wouldn't have said gross. She would have just said sullied his name or something like that.
It was a power imbalance.
Right, but she said gross. But so what we know is the fake news flying out. First things first. Right out of the gate, they went, he was in his underpants. And the other guy was in his underpants. And I was like, well, that seems weird. But then, you know, I'm always trying to connect the dots with my brain. And they said, well, the guy was a nudist. So I was like, well, maybe he put underpants on before the attack as a nudist. You'd want to wear something when you broke into somebody's house.
And by the way, he used to be – this is what I keep saying. I don't know if you've talked to Drew about it yet. I haven't. I know he was in New York and I missed him. But this guy used to be kind of a nudist San Francisco. He was affiliated with Gypsy, who's a rather notorious figure up in the Bay Area. And then kind of now he's over in the kind of MAGA land with all of that. I was telling Gary this, there was an article and it was a great quote. I think by Schellenberger, this guy is more John Hinckley than John Wilkes Booth.
Right.
Right?
Right. Okay, so then here's the rub. So the left, because I've watched a lot of reporting on it, they just go, this guy, who's a big MAGA guy and a big Trump supporter, was weaponized by the rhetoric, and this was a call to action, and he did it. And they're leaving out a few things. They're leaving out he's a crackpot.
He lives either, it's reported, he either lives in a broken down school bus, a garage, or on the street. Okay, so that those three options.
Yes.
You can, I hate to generalize, but you can make some generalizations.
And the camp where he lives in has a BLM flag and a gay flag hanging next to his camper van. So it's hard to paint him as just sort of hard right, you know, MAGA guy. And he's a hallucinogenic drug user and abuser. He's nuts. But here's the big one. This is the one that's really interesting in terms of. So the right reports him as a nut job. The left sort of reports him as a weaponized American. He's Canadian, and he's here past his visa, way past his visa, and they are living in a sanctuary state. So California is a sanctuary state. They're not going to deport anybody. He's a foreigner from a foreign land who is living amongst us and causing all kinds of trouble, but he does not get deported, and then this. So the left never calls him a Canadian. They call him an American who's been weaponized by MAGA, but the reality is he's a Canadian who's here and has overstayed his visa in a sanctuary state, and they don't want to examine that part of it either.
So what... Once again, I think it's like you with me and legal, and I always say, and you with Drew and psychological, if you will, and addiction. The people use the ideation. People, you know, the idea that somehow you're going to use this, and it doesn't matter if it was the supposed Bernie Sanders supporter who shot Steve Scalise on the baseball field, or it's this guy who wants to kneecap Nancy Pelosi. When you're this psychologically unhinged, you use whatever ideation your diseased brain picks up on.
Or your dog tells you to kill.
Yeah, Son of Sam. I mean, you know. So this idea that somehow you're going to take the ideation and the symbols and you're going to blame the symbols for what is the diseased brain is, it just is really, it's almost comical in a way if it wasn't for the fact that people get hurt. But you can, the analysis of it is just so detached itself. It's almost as detached as the person who's grabbing these crazy symbols. I mean, you know, it doesn't take me three lines when somebody emails to the office. If I see CIA, FBI, or implanted or stealing my thoughts,
all right,
that's it. Does that mean I blame the CIA? God, if the CIA wasn't out there, you know, doing these awful things, this guy never would have said that they were stealing his thoughts and then they controlled him. I mean, you can't, I mean, it is so silly to attribute that. If you're going to say that somebody, I understand the argument that somebody whipped you into a frenzy and they're rational and they're grounded. But when you're talking about people who are clearly in psychological, you know.
He thought he was Jesus Christ for a full year, like yeah. According to his girlfriend. But on a more mechanical note, I don't think they've let the 911 call out yet and or the body cam out. Now, I can never figure out why and when and how. Sometimes it comes out that day. Sometimes they fight it. What would their argument be for no 911 call and no body cam?
It's whatever law enforcement wants. I mean, it literally is.
It's not standardized at all?
It's not standardized in the least. If they think it's going to help, they release it. If they think it's not going to help, they don't. I mean, I could give you case after case that I've had where there is absolutely no rational basis for what they release and what they don't. Sometimes you'll get a mugshot. Then other times you say, where is the mugshot? Sometimes I get the body cam. They release it right away. The other times you have to fight. I've gone to the state Supreme Court fighting to get a body cam. They won't release it. And they'll use any excuse to do it because there's generally a deference to law enforcement. And law enforcement will say it jeopardizes an ongoing investigation if they don't want to release it. But then again, they will release it if it helps them. And they'll say, well, public is entitled to transparency. The public's entitled to, they're paying for the body cam.
And 911 calls are the same?
Yeah, they use the same kind of rationale for the 911 calls. They're not supposed to be. These are supposed to be under public records acts, and you're supposed to be able to get these. But they'll slow walk you. They'll say, we're still investigating. It's an ongoing investigation. We don't want to compromise it.
Well, why wouldn't they in this particular case?
It's a very good question. I will tell you that if I'm a member of the Pelosi family, or if I'm Paul Pelosi, who's 82 years old, and if what's being reported and what's being sworn in the affidavit is true. And by the way, all of a sudden, I love how the left wants to believe everything that's in an affidavit by law enforcement. I remember, I'm old enough to remember when we questioned everything that was in an affidavit by law enforcement, but that's, call me old school or an old man. But if you believe what's in there, he didn't get hit in the head until the police actually did the wellness check and the door was opened, and then the ball-peen hammer or whatever it was, they wrestled for it. And I don't know that I would want that out if I were – I mean, I would probably assert some privacy rights. I don't
know, if you're over the Pelosi the family.
Yeah, if I'm Paul Pelosi, even though I probably just have brain surgery, I don't know that I would want that out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that for the rest of eternity I want to see me getting hit over the head with a ball-peen hammer in my home.
I remember when Demi Moore was ODing on something several years ago, and her assistant was calling 911 and not really wanting to say what she was doing because she didn't want her boss having whatever drugs they were talking about put out there in the form of the 911 call, which immediately became available to the press. And I get Demi Moore doesn't want her assistant's 911 call to be public domain, but it's not her decision. Now, why is it the Pelosi's decision?
I don't think it would be. I don't think that there is any provision where you can assert privacy in that situation, although I could construct an argument that if it's in my house and I was the one who called them there and I'm the victim under the Marcy's Bill of Rights that's enshrined in the Constitution now.
Right. Well, that's body cam, but not the 911 call.
Correct.
Which is.
Yeah.
But again, here's my whole point. I don't mind living in a world where they don't release them, and I don't mind living in a world where they immediately release them. I mean, I mind the wild variations on the ones that get released and the ones that don't.
Now you're making the argument that I make in courts, several times a month. I'm okay with following the law or what you're telling me, but please don't tell me this on Tuesday, and then on Thursday when I walk into a different courtroom, do I get a different story?
Right.
Or justification. And that's exactly what you get. I mean, there is the consistency here is belied, and it's disturbing.
So what we've gleaned is he didn't know the guy.
Correct.
He wasn't in his underpants, at least the same.
Well, by the way, I don't know about you, and I don't want to get too personal, but if I'm asleep and some guy breaks into my house, I'm generally going to be either, in the birthday suit or underpants. Aren't
you?
I mean, what are you going to be dressed in a suit when you're 2 a.m. when you're 82 years old?
That's Paul. They were saying the assailant.
Well, for all I know, you picked up on what I was telling somebody the other day. This guy's a nudist. I don't know if he's Captain Underpants or not. I mean, I had a friend who wrote a children's book. Where is my underwear? By Barney Salzberg. Yeah, it's a children's book, and I'm that's all I can think about this whole time. And I don't know. God knows I don't want to ever be the last thing it really is a nightmare when you think about it. If Paul Pelosi is asleep at 2 a.m. and you wake up and there's this guy and you take a look at this guy, hovering over your bed looking for your wife, and you just, you know, you're dead to the world asleep, and you got to wake up. I mean, I give the guy credit. He talked this guy down from...
I agree. But right? Back to the official particulars. That guy wasn't in his underpants because he wasn't sleeping at the house with Paul Pelosi. Well, that's what we know.
Well, unless you're on some blog that's got a very fertile imagination.
Think they've kind of disavowed that one. That one went away. Then he doesn't know him. Then he kind of called the cops, but so they could hear him.
There were two other things that all the Twitter sleuths were dealing with. The glass was on the outside, not the inside. You remember seeing that? Yeah. That was one. Oh, that was a clue. I love the Nancy Drews. And then the Hardy Boys were, oh, somebody else opened the door. An unknown person opened the door. So, well, who was the unknown person? I heard that was all over the place, right?
Yeah, and it appears that he opened the door, Paul Pelosi? And this guy was standing there, and they're both sort of hanging on to the hammer, and... He only hit him when the cops, like, sort of came in. At least that's what I've gleaned.
That's what the affidavit says. And it also was pointed out, I thought it was interesting, that the assailant was observed by private security protecting another home on the street.
Yeah, I saw that too.
The one that I found interesting is Harmeet Dhillon, our friend, said that she has attempted to serve a warrant, not a warrant, but papers, to multiple Pelosi residents, and was always met with security. So, and I think the first question everyone asks is, why isn't there a guy standing outside the house?
Probably because the speaker's not there. If she's there.
No, okay. But no, she travels with security and she's out of town.
Right.
He's a cajillionaire who is a very public figure these days, and her residence is well known. Feel like for that guy's tax bracket and his exposure and the residence being known, feel like it's going to be the best $1,800 a month you're going to spend guy to have a dude on a folding chair just sitting outside all night, right?
Well, but the one question I have is, why don't you spend $200 a month and get a security system where you alarm? So when the window breaks, you have police response.
I think there was an alarm of some sort because that was what the private security reported, was that he saw the guy with the backpack and then a few minutes later heard a thud and then an alarm going off. So presumably...
So why does he need to call 911? Where's the private guard? That I want my money back from security.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Interesting story.
We didn't even get to I still have a lot more on this, and we didn't even get to, like, I mean, Gary and I have a whole line of this stuff.
Get to a few.
Can we get to a few? Yeah. Okay. Today it was interesting, and this kind of it goes along with this Rorschach test. Do you remember when people were going a little? I sent Gary one article. I just Googled it today. A couple of days ago, Clarence Thomas pressed pause, and the Supreme Court issued a stay on the subpoena to Lindsey Graham to testify in the Georgia inquiry into the election. And people went crazy. And I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is an administrative stay. The reason Clarence Thomas is involved is because that area of the country is under, you know, there's nine justices. They each have a various circuits. That's his. And he basically footballed it to the court. There was all kinds of, you know, conspiracy theories. And why doesn't he recuse himself? Even though I haven't read one article that talked about the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court does not, unlike all the other intermediate and trial courts, have a recusal and ethical standard. They don't have it. It's kind of like Congress. Why didn't he recuse himself? Kind of just barely today, you get an order by the court saying that Graham has to testify. And you and I talked about this. There's the order. And we've got it up if you're watching YouTube. And the order says because I had said he's got, I think, a speech and debate clause, Lindsey Graham does, who, by the way, I may not agree with him on a lot of things, but I've used the speech and debate clause when I've represented Congress people. they have a robust right to immunity from asking questions or privilege on speech and debate. And if he's head of a committee that's investigating the election, whether you agree with him or not, he's got that privilege. Supreme Court says, yeah, that's right. And if you they can question him, he can invoke that. And if there's a dispute, go to the district court. There's nobody's going, oh, my God, you know, the Supreme Court did the right thing. Fast forward a couple days later, guess what? Elena Kagan, who is, you know, a left, is always she pressed pause to let the whole court decide on the Arizona, who was it, Gary, attorney general, turning over her phone records. I didn't see the same, you know, Yahoo chorus screaming about that.
Republican Party chair.
Yeah, the Republican Party chair. People need to take a deep breath and let the system actually try to work before you start ascribing motives and saying this justice is carrying the water of this. You know, it really is a little – all of the hysteria, if you just wait 5 or 6 days or a week, you find out maybe I overreacted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the part that bothers me the most, but it's this very interesting era, which is you inside the courtroom, you provide experts, and your experts are advocates for your argument. And you have an expert, and you pay that expert, and that expert usually tells a version of the story that benefits you. Otherwise, you wouldn't put them up there. And then the prosecution has an expert, and they do the same thing, and they sort of cancel each other out. And I don't think, by the way, that up until about 10 minutes ago, people even understood that inside of the court system. But now I think people do. But when it then spills out of the courtroom and it goes onto the news outlets, and they have the former FBI chief who's sitting there, and he's now an expert on this, and we're asking him a story, or the doctor who's an expert on COVID and transmission, or the legal expert who's going to sit in on CNN's panel and explain legally, says, I think up until about 10 minutes ago, I just sat there and watched and went, well, this guy's a legal expert. He's giving his opinion, which is based on, you know, 40 years of experience and a Harvard degree and stuff like that. So that's definitely it. I don't think that guy ran the FBI, and he thinks the Hunter Biden laptop has all the earmarks of Russian collusion. That was enough for me. He was the expert. He's that guy. That guy's
an expert. They gave it to Rudy's lawyer. I dismissed
it. That doctor's a COVID expert. They're telling us what we need to get our 5-year-olds vaccinated. Like, it was there. We're not living in that world anymore. And so everybody needs to become their own expert. And the way you become your own expert is you hear on one side that this guy was weaponized by a MAGA hat and he broke into the Pelosi house and took a hammer to him. And then you hear on the other side, he was a male escort who was met on Tinder,
right,
and that wasn't a hammer, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And now you is the savvy consumer, because it's just like you could sit home all day and see a commercial for Mercedes-Benz and then one for BMW and then one for Kia, and they're all going to say they're the best car because they're advocates for their position. Now it's up to you to go online, go to Consumer Reports, go down to the dealership, kick some tires, do a little test driving. And that's the unfortunate space we're all in now.
Clearly. And don't you do what I do now when I read something? One of the first things I do is look for the news outlet and then in the author.
And
I shouldn't do that because that's kind of – it's almost borderline logical fallacy. But you have to. You have to see who's distributing it to you.
Right. And so you'll see a name like Michael Schellenberger and you go, okay, this guy's a reporter and he's pretty straight up and he's kind of boots on the ground and I'm going to go see what he has to say about this on his Substack or whatever.
Right.
But as I was telling you, I was watching Lawrence O'Donnell and Claire McCaskill and I wanted to know what their take on this story was. And then I'll switch over to Hannity and see what his take
on. I'll look at Laura Ingraham and then I'll, you know.
You just got to get it from both sides. Otherwise, you will you will never know.
It's exactly right. It's it's a cacophony, and you got to somehow synthesize it.
But the number one thing you need to do is when it feels like you're being pushed in a direction, not necessarily led to follow, but sort of pushed.
I always use, you know what, the push when the rhetoric, when they start, it doesn't take two paragraphs in to read something. When they start calling somebody, right, you know, there's certain key words. When those words are used, right, then you lose me.
Right. So when they go, a crazy nudist, hallucinogenic, you know, nut job, broken. When they go, a Trump supporter, broken. Now listen to the rest of what they have to say and listen to it, but keep in mind that's the angle they're coming from.
Exactly.
All right. You can go to Wise Guys. Is that true? Yeah. Is that... that's tonight, right? Carrot Top's going to be up on stage. Josh Wolf's going to be up with me on stage. It's Wednesday night. Is that...
We're going to drop this today on Tuesday, so it'll be tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. All right. Tomorrow night. That's what I want to say. You can... God, these are some weird plugs. You can go to amcurl.com for all the live shows out there, because there's other shows we're not doing up there either. Tempe Improv coming up December 16th and 17th. And then there's also a Tucson Rialto Theater December 15th. What do you got, Mark?
Well, I'm going to give a pitch. Go by Dirty Taco at Grand Central Terminal. Or if you're in L.A., come by Tenney or Engine Company 28, both downtown and at LAX.
So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Mark Hard Out Garagos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.